to my life. I can take a wild guess.
You know what's crazy? What is this?
Sushi means sex.
What is going on this show?
It's the lighter side of the dark side.
Oh, no, he didn't.
What did you do? What did you do?
Yes, welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. It is the Dark Mark Show. I am Dark Mark, the goth comedian. Welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. And today we have Josie, my normal co-host, is on her way, but somebody who is not dark in the least. It was very, she smiles a lot. She's smiling right now. The beautiful, talented singer-songwriter Joyce Lee is my guest tonight. Welcome to the Dark Mark Show.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, no problem. I remember we did a show. It's a long story. We met about, almost a year ago, I would think.
That sounds about right.
And it was an interesting show. I was wearing a full-length rubber latex coat with the makeup and the whole thing. And you were it was comedy and it was you doing your singing, songwriting. It was an interesting mix. It was a great show, and you're very talented. I bought your CD, and little did I know that a year later you would offer it for me for free. But welcome to the lighter side of the dark side. Chris Gore should be joining us any moment. Josie Cat is on her way up. Before we start, I did want to let you know that the show, as always, is being brought to you by Hillary's Vanity. Are you familiar with Hillary's Vanity?
No, I can't say I've heard of that.
Hillary's Vanity, hillarysvanity.com. They have the greatest fashions. From sizes, what size are you?
Extra small.
Extra small. I figured as much. And I am 2X. They have sizes from extra small to 4X in men and women's sizes. They have terrific dresses. I'm going to scroll here and show one of these dresses. And I'm not stalling for time. I just wanted to show you what great dresses that they have. And let me see here. I know I have it here. Oh, here's a good one. That's Hillary right there modeling one of her fashions. I'm going to put this on the camera. I'm going to show this to Joyce. It is fantastic.
Oh,
how
nice.
Hot is that?
That's
she
awesome.
Sells the hats. She sells the corsets. She sells the dresses. She sells the shoes. She sells everything that you need, no matter what your size, extra small to 4X. She's got you covered. She's actually looking for plus size models. Now that obviously disqualifies you, but If you're a little on the chunkier side, men or women,
don't even say.
You entered right on cue,
don't
Josie.
Don't even say speaking up.
Josie, come on down. This is my co-host Josie Cat.
Hi,
Josie. This is Joyce Lee.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Two wonderful singers. Your Perry is over there, so you can. Okay. But it's okay. Chris is not here, so you can take that seat if you want.
That's okay. I'll come over here.
So. Chris should be here any moment. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that I was just telling her how great Hillary's Vanity clothes are.
Their stuff is awesome.
If you go to hillarysvanity.com, if you live in L.A., set up an appointment. Go to her warehouse, and her warehouse is in Calabasas, and it's terrific.
Or you can get her stuff online.
You can get her stuff online. Well, if you go to her warehouse, she'll let you try stuff on. If you don't live in L.A., just go to her website and she'll hook you up, and we're hooking this up. Okay. we're trying to get both of you in the shot is what it is. I think is what, that's a nice shot now. Joyce, this is my co-host Josie Cat.
Nice to meet you again.
Yes. And Joyce is singer-songwriter. She's going to play live later on.
Really?
Yeah. So maybe we might.
I was. Did you bring a guitar?
She's got a guitar right behind you.
Right there.
She tuned it up.
Nice.
And I was going to say, Joyce, I was thinking about this. You were going to be the first. You were almost going to be the first musical guest or the first person to sing live on this show. But then I remembered about 3 weeks ago, I sang a version of "Hungry Like the Wolf."
Oh God.
To Josie Cat.
That was horrible.
So.
you're the first.
You're the first one with musical talent to actually sing live on the show. But, Josie, you know what time it is right now.
I'll jump right into it.
You want to jump right into it? It's time for the Hollywood Report.
Let's do it.
You want me to open it?
Okay. Okay,
that's enough of that.
Because actually, this Hollywood Report is all about me. Not just
isn't,
the
it,
song,
isn't it always?
Like, well, because, yeah, because it's stuff I do, but it's usually things I attend for other people.
Let's have the Hollywood Report, Josie. Let's hear. What happened in Hollywood this week? This is a show, Joyce, by the way. We bring the underbelly of Hollywood to people's computer screens and in their iTunes. So what happened in the underbelly of Hollywood, the crazy underbelly of Hollywood this week?
Well, you missed out on V Society. Catwalk magazine that I work with had a red carpet event.
You mean you didn't invite me to V Society? Okay.
You're always there. Okay. I don't need to invite you.
Okay.
You should just show up anyway.
Chris is downstairs, Jeremy, if you want. Okay, go ahead.
So anyway, that was pretty
fun. V Society is the vampire club, Joyce.
Sin was there
from Ministry.
Sin
Corinne, who's been a guest.
He's been one of our guests. And Cleve Hall, who's from Monster Men.
Probably going to be one of our future guests. We've already talked about
Yeah, Cleve is pretty cool. So it was a fun event. And then
Friday, I saw you.
Friday?
Noise Factory. Saturday, I saw you.
Oh, yeah, Noise Factory. I forgot about that already. Noise Factory was fun.
You were handing out paddles to the crowd.
Yes. Yes, these. Spanked someone happy from the pleasure chest. They were nice enough to donate these, and everybody was
You can
banking.
Talk to the pleasure chest about sponsoring the show one of these days.
They're having an event next week, next Thursday, Glory Hole. Maybe we should stop by. Talk to them together.
Okay, if we Thursday is the show, but
afterwards. I'm speaking about afterwards. Of course.
Okay, you just want me to get behind the glory hole, don't you?
You are the glory hole.
So what else happened this weekend?
Had a great show. My first show with my new band Carrera. That was a blast.
That was a blast.
Jenna,
I was there.
Jenna, who was one of our guests,
the vampire who bit me.
Yes. Yes, she was part of the show. She was one of our go-go dancers. And
it seemed like every one of our past guests were there. Nicole Six was there.
Yes.
Juliet, who was here last week, was there. The Rhythm Coffin was there.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see you. And you haven't lost it. You were great. I mean, I've never seen you live. I've seen videos of you with Pissant, but I've never
been in them.
Yeah, but I've never seen you sing live with a band, and you were terrific.
Well, thank you.
I've seen Joyce sing live. Joyce it's a different kind of music. The song we played before the Hollywood Report, that's Josie's kind of music. She's punk rock. She's real screamy. You are a gentle singer-songwriter.
You haven't heard my band.
Really? You have a different side. Because I did a lot of research on you when I was researching the show. And a lot of research. And mainly about pictures. And I was Googling.
He does that a lot.
I was Googling.
And I say he does that a lot because he does. He gets to know you real well. You'll be shocked at how much he knows.
But Josie, can you blame me? How beautiful is Joyce?
She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous. She's a size extra small, too. But that's what we were talking about when we were on the way. Because Hillary's got stuff that fits her. But Joyce, look who's here. It's that Chris Gore.
Hey, how's it going?
It's that Chris Gore.
That Chris Gore. Where should I sit? Oh, right here. That Chris Gore.
Next to the girls.
That's Josie Kant, as I'm sure you know.
Hi.
We've never met in person.
You have. I'll talk about
it. Finally meet you. Hi,
I know.
Chris.
And that's Joyce Lee.
Joyce, pleasure.
And it's funny because it's you're crashing our podcast. This is the pod crash.
Yeah, I am. How's it going?
This is going good.
So what exactly does that mean?
I'm inside your podcast. I guess.
Well, but Chris Gore, that Chris Gore.
We're all inside it.
No, that Chris Gore has his own podcast called Pod Crash.
Uh-huh.
Where he goes on people's podcasts and crashes it. And then he replays our podcast on his podcast.
It's a way to kind of like introduce, you know, my listeners to your show.
And we appreciate that. And
we like that.
And the thing
we
is
need that.
Your show is very popular. It's one of the, I mean, you are tops in the podcasting universe, and I knew.
Thank you for saying so.
Well, you're up there. I mean, you're getting there.
Yeah, I guess.
And I know one thing about you, besides the fact you love Batman, you're wearing your Batman
shirt.
Right,
that's true. Bat stuff.
Oh, drats.
You love Asian women. And you said, I will go on your show if you give me a beautiful Asian woman to go on the show.
Look
what happened. No, I actually said that.
He delivered.
Really? Did I say that?
How beautiful is Joyce Lee? Come on.
Oh, no.
Joyce, you didn't know you were being pimped out tonight, did you?
You're not being...
No, but I'm actually okay with it.
All right.
Really? All right. We like that.
No, I saw...
We do a lot of that around here.
A friend of mine showed me a book called How to Date White Women. Because I went on a rant about how I'm done with white women. Like, I'm just sort of sick of them. Because I think there's sort of a sense of entitlement being... No, I'm serious.
With Josie, I understand. Yeah.
No, but like...
Fuck you, Mark.
I was talking
first
to a friend
of the night.
She was telling me about... She was asking me, like, what's your type? It's like, well, I don't really have a type, but there is a type I don't
female
like.
Female type?
Blonde white women. I don't like blondes. I don't know. I feel like that, like, there's like blonde is like maybe the ideal for certain people, but not for me.
But we've had this discussion. You said that you're into Asian women.
Yes, I actually did say that.
Yes, you did say that. Let me back. Joyce, we're going to talk about your band, your music. You actually have a rock inside, and we want to get to that. But Chris, you're late, and we were talking about Joyce. But Chris, Chris Gord, the how I have a podcast is kind of due to this man.
Really?
Partially.
Okay.
Now, first off, I'm a comedian, so it's mandatory in 2013 to have a podcast. You can't be a comedian not have a podcast.
Everyone has to have one now,
so,
apparently.
So we were at Josie Cat, who says she doesn't recognize Chris Gore, has never met Chris Gore. We were at the Fetish Film Festival last year in October.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. I totally
remember
this.
Where we premiered Josie Cat's band's video so close by the pissant that I was in.
Okay.
And you got me outside, and I think you've been drinking, but I was like, we were talking about your podcast and how hard you worked at your podcast, and you got a real good following, and you're like, I got an idea for a podcast for you. Because I was like, you know what I want to do? I want to get my crazy friends on here, and I want to interview them and all this. And you're like, no, here's what you want to do. You tell the idea that you had.
Oh, yeah. I said you should do a podcast called Girls Eating Hot Dogs at 2 a.m., which would just be interviews with girls eating hot dogs.
After the clubs at 2 a.m.
The street dogs?
The street dogs, yeah.
They're kind of punchy. They know they're not getting laid. It's like a bad night. They're not happy with life. And they're eating those bacon-wrapped hot dogs covered in mustard, ketchup, and mayonnaise. And they're stuffing their faces. So I thought, like, just do a whole podcast where you just interview those girls.
Right.
In the comedy world.
It would be
world,
funny.
In the comedy world, that would be called crowd work.
No, and it's funny because I did try to do that.
How did it work out?
It didn't work. Here's what happened. Because you're like, well.
He was like, eat a hot dog.
Well, first off, I was doing it in
Get out of here.
I was doing it in the winter. So the hot dog stands were starting to not be there.
Oh, shit.
And it was cold. And what
He's
happened
not
was...
He's not even listening. He's checking his Facebook.
No. I know exactly what I'm doing.
No. Trust me. This is a podcast professional. He knows what he's doing.
I know exactly
He knows
what
exactly
doing.
What he's
I'm
doing.
Looking, I'm looking up something
he's ignoring
to play
you,
on the show.
What he's doing.
No, he had this whole thing. He's like, I want to get this girl with a hot dog coming in her mouth, and you're behind her going like this. That's going to be your thing on iTunes. So I interviewed... The first girl I interviewed, you would love it.
How did it go?
It went good. It was. I still have it somewhere on my computer. It was a girl who had a Darth Vader mask.
Oh wow!
Wearing
that could have been a girl I dated
wearing a bikini, like a fetish outfit. I have a picture.
How'd
actually
she eat that hot dog?
No, she wasn't eating the hot dog. I saw her in the club. I'm like, you're like a nerd's wet dream. And she's like,
I had a friend of mine who's in a band do a theme song for girls eating hot dogs at 2 a.m.
Yeah,
do you want to hear it?
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah,
I do want to hear this.
Here it is.
Girls eating hot dogs at 2 a.m. Yeah, girls eating hot dogs at 2 a.m. Girls eating hot dogs at 2 a.m.
So a friend of mine did that. Just I'm like,
and you mentioned this on other podcasts.
That would be a great commercial spot for 7-Eleven.
You mentioned me a few times. Yeah,
I've dropped your name. I've tried to, you know.
And so what happened was I tried, because you're like, it only has to be like 10 minutes, funny, Just do it every week.
Keep
just make sure
short.
You have it. Make it, keep it short, keep it funny, and just keep it. And one day I'll come in and we'll do a whole thing. So I tried, and what happened was it would be funny, but it wouldn't be 10 minutes. Well, or it would be 10 minutes, and it wouldn't be funny. So
you could
it was
do a whole right. video like the people of Walmart. Have you seen that video?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah, I mean, I could string
song.
Them all together, and I could.
Exactly.
I might have it, I might, you know, unless you, because it's your idea.
So whatever.
If you
want to
take it. But I might make it part of the Dark Barn show.
I get a million ideas.
Because you're like, if you don't do it, I'll do it. In that
right.
famous Chris Gore raspy voice, if you don't do it, I'll do it. Joyce Lee I met about a year ago, too. Actually, a couple months after, we were all at the Fetish Film Festival, and Josie doesn't remember meeting you. I know you remember Josie.
I do.
Did we actually meet? I know we're friends on Instagram and Facebook
right.
and all the social.
All the social media.
All
yeah,
the social
yeah,
stuff.
No, for sure. But I don't, yeah, I remember.
I feel like I know you because I see all your posts.
Yeah, I see your posts as well.
But I did a show. I did a show last. Yeah, everybody likes her posts. I did a show in Northridge last November.
That.
Well, no, it's tomorrow night.
It's Northridge.
Tomorrow night, I'm playing Compton, so it's all relative.
The only
but,
thing you want to do in Northridge is film a porn.
No, I'm not bullshitting. I'm playing Compton tomorrow. But I
good luck with that.
Yeah. No. The African American crowds, they love the goth shit. They love it. I'm going to kill.
Really?
Oh, they love it. Like some white crowds. I did a show in Long Beach.
Because you're a total freak to them.
Yeah, they don't know anything about it. They think it's great. But white crowds, sometimes it hits, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes you got to do other stuff and come back to it, which is, I had to do the show in Long Beach. The same thing happened. So like they started talking. So I got like more into sex stuff and then went back to the goth. But I did a show, a lot of filthy comics. I was wearing a long latex coat. It was a bunch of filthy comics. And then this angel comes on, Joyce Lee, and starts singing. Was that the weirdest show you've ever played?
In the middle of that.
That's what I want to know.
I know Billy from way
Billy Batts,
ago.
Who put on the show.
I went and played an open mic at his bar several years ago. And after that, he kept asking if I wanted to play shows for him.
Right.
And I think it's very sweet that you think I'm an angel. I'm so not.
Well, then we'll get into that a little bit later.
That's almost an invitation.
That sounds quite like an invitation. You know what you three have in common? Chris Gore, Joyce Lee, Josie Katz. There are other people that have your names.
Really?
There's a screenwriter that has Christopher Gore because I was...
Oh, that's true.
I was watching your classic movie, Red.
Right.
And I was reading the credits and you used to bill yourself as Christian Gore.
That's true.
Because there was a screenwriter named Christopher Gore.
There's another guy named Chris Gore. There's a lot of people named Chris Gore.
Right.
I was going to do a podcast. Actually, this is another idea for ads for podcast. I was going to do a podcast where I just interviewed other people named Chris Gore.
The Chris Gore Show.
There's that many?
And it would be called The Chris Gore Show.
Who are the other Chris Gores besides the screenwriter?
There's a preacher. He has a podcast. He's an evangelical preacher.
Right.
There's a professional race car driver. There's a professional fisherman. There's a guy who is on television in Australia who gives you advice on finance and stock trading. There's an I Hate Chris Gore Facebook group, which is a guy named Chris Gore who's in college. I joined the group, but I couldn't believe it. Like, wow, there's a lot.
Is this why when you started calling yourself that Chris Gore?
Right, because every time I would go to register my name on social media, someone else would already have Chris Gore. So I'm like, fuck it. I guess I'll just be that Chris Gore.
And so, it stuck.
Then that kind of stuck with like now everything I do is that Chris Gore.
But that's kind of a cool thing.
I guess I don't know. I'm feeling very low about myself at the moment. So
what happened?
Nothing in particular.
Aww,
you know me,
sad.
Relationship woes and girls and.
Oh, that's, so we have the same problem.
Yeah.
Except, you probably will get laid before the end of the year, and I'm not sure if I will.
Oh, by my hand, definitely.
He's not sure if he will by the end of the century.
Gee, thanks, Josie. That's a good one.
Yeah. No, look,
we'll do the jokes, okay? We're the ones with the comedy albums. You two sing, all right?
I have no problem dating girls. I just have a problem. Like, I would like to be in a committed long-term relationship.
See, this shocks me because one of the podcasts that you crashed was the pickup podcast, and you were on for 2 episodes.
Right. They liked me.
Giving your pickup tips, I'm guessing.
No, it's not pickup tips. It's like I feel like I'm very good at reading people. So, and also I'm good at something that most men I don't think are, not bragging, but I can empathize. And I think this.
I thought you were going to say something else.
I know.
That was.
I have a big penis.
No, something that you do very well was what you said.
Well, there's a couple things, but save for another podcast. But no, I feel like I'm able to empathize, and that's just sort of because I'm kind of a pussy, I guess.
But you're talking to the king of pussies.
Right.
I was speaking to somebody who remained nameless, but she's somebody who's very close to Josie and I, and she just went through a breakup, and I was flirting with her.
How did that go?
She started crying.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah, she's because I was like, well, you know, I'm sorry to hear all that happened. And I really was. I mean, I know she, you know, but I was like, you know, but that kind of brings up the thing. And she's like, well, and then I was trying to talk in her threesomes and stuff. And she's like, I'm starting to get really emotional. And I was like, oh, no.
No, she was crying over the thought of
being
with
you. Talking about threesomes?
Anyway, I don't want to get into it because that's her own thing. But Joyce Lee, there's another Joyce Lee in Hong Kong, is that it?
I'm actually curious to see how many more Joyce Lees there are versus Chris Gore.
Because if you Google Joyce Lee, there's...
Let's do it.
There's another Joyce Lee singer.
There's a singer in Hong Kong, and she sounds completely different than me.
Well, she's singing Chinese, I would hope, I would imagine.
What nationality are you?
Well, I was born and raised in the U.S., but my family's from China, mainland China. Although that we think that there's some Irish in us, which would explain my affinity for Irish whiskey and punk. So.
Ah, there you go.
Now we're talking. I should have brought some Irish whiskey, and you're sitting right next to the punk right there. So you grew up on punk rock.
Yeah, I first discovered punk rock when I was about 16.
And when you're talking punk rock, are you talking like Blink 182 or the real stuff?
No, I'm talking about like the Clash and the Dead Kennedys,
right,
and stuff like that.
The real stuff. We all are nodding in agreement. Yes.
And before that, I grew up on classical music. I was classically trained on the piano since I was 5. So in 16, I discovered this, like, I'm like, whoa, what is this? And then decided to teach myself how to play guitar. And
how did that go over with the folks?
Oh, my mother still doesn't understand it. To this day, no.
Because I'm guessing I've heard this from other Chinese people that they do take up piano or violin or classical instruments very early.
Well, yeah, my mother and my grandmother were both piano teachers, so I didn't have much of a choice in that area. But I'm very appreciative of it because it definitely made it easier for me to teach myself how to play guitar.
Right.
And for writing music, it's just a very, very awesome foundational instrument to have.
Right. So. But now you're
and for writing, too.
Mm-hmm. So you're like punk, but you know what you're doing. You know more than 3 chords.
Yeah.
And I've heard your voice, and it's you're not screaming. You can actually sing and carry a tune. And maybe we're going to do one of your songs later, but I was also thinking possibly we could, at the end of the show, maybe do a jam session of Celebrities Poop, which is Chris's. Celebrities.
Need to.
That sounds punk rock.
No. That's the name of Chris Gore's new comedy album, Celebrities Poop, which has a song.
I should have brought some.
I was listening to it. I was listening to it today.
Somewhat. Oh, Celebrity Poop?
No. It's a book and comedy album. So, yeah, the book, I have some books in
my car. Well, you should have been on time, Chris, let's be honest. But
That's true. I didn't realize the whole studio and, like, what floor it was on.
I know, I should have. I mean, that's my fault.
I blew it.
But let me tell you how I met.
I parked at Mas Mala, which is a great restaurant around the corner.
Oh, okay.
Well, maybe we'll have
some dinner afterwards.
Yeah.
But how I met that Chris Gore. I was familiar with that Chris Gore because of this.
Yes. Yeah.
That is the movie Red. And that Chris Gore, the reason that he's on the show, on the lighter side of the dark side, is he frequents fetish clubs.
I had a conversation. I got into a huge rant with a friend of mine. We were talking.
Mm-hmm.
A white friend of mine. And we were...
God forbid.
I was talking about how I can't stand normal girls. And like when I say normal girls, I actually have a name for them. I call them
vanilla.
I call them Nordstrom girls.
Okay.
And what I mean is that they have the, like, not only do they dress alike, but they think alike.
Right.
So they have these whole attitudes about things, and it's like, oh, you know, I shop at Whole Foods. I'm going to go hiking at Runyon Canyon. It's just like you don't have any original ideas because your ideas are all co-opted from friends of yours they're not like, you don't have, you know, like you don't have an original voice, you don't have an original opinion about anything. And I find that irritating because I tend to gravitate towards women who have a uniqueness about them. And I think uniqueness is a rare feature to find in a girl. And this actually came up because I was on another podcast with an ex-girlfriend of mine who's a suicide girl, and we were talking about like why we're still friends, and it was because you're not a fucking normal girl. But I feel like a lot of women that I meet in Los Angeles are sort of like, oh, you're all just shades of each other. You're
but
not
I'm finding that's
uniqueness.
The same thing like in the fetish clubs now too, and even with the suicide girls, and also
in the Comic-Con world too. In the nerd world, the geek world.
I feel like it's just difficult to find someone who goes by the beat of their own drum.
You were just about to say beats your meat, but yeah.
But also beats. But you know what I mean? Like just like someone that has an essence of uniqueness. I know it when I see it, and it's extremely rare, which is why I'm still single.
Well, so. I'm glad I got that Chris Gore right after he broke up with a girl. This is really good.
That angry Chris Gore.
That Chris Gore. That Chris Gore sounding like That Dark Mark. It's really weird.
You should do that Dark Mark. That'd be good. That Dark Mark.
We'll see. But
girls eating hot dogs.
But I met you. I remember I saw you.
Where was it? We're at
Fetish Nation. Fetish Nation was this club at Circus.
I used to go to Hell too.
But I never talked to you in Hell. I remember
you Club Fuck on Santa Monica. That was another good one.
I think I went to Club Fuck once.
I kind of know all these places.
Right. But Fetish Nation, I saw, like I
go there to meet anybody.
I saw you at Club Hell.
Just to be clear, I don't go there to meet anybody. It's hard to meet someone at a fetish club. It's very dark. I like to be in a relationship with a girl who is into that scene, and we would frequent those clubs together to have fun.
Right.
So it's not like I'm going there to pick someone up.
Like I am.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
And how's that working out? Oh, it's working out great, Josie. Thanks for asking. But I think
bars are like the worst place to meet somebody. I actually have no idea where to meet somebody. Because I started online dating for a while, which I actually killed my profile on all the online dating sites.
No, I got the worst online dating story of all time.
I heard Plenty of Fish is good for, you know.
I haven't tried Plenty of Fish.
Well, it's free.
I've actually had my dating profile.
You have problems getting laid, I'm sure.
I had my dating profile deleted from a couple of sites. It came off as too rapey. I think that was the complaint.
What?
It was a little too rapey is what the
complaint
was.
What did you say?
I want to rape you? I mean, what was that? What was the...
I gave what is my traditional first date speech, which probably seems kind of...
Do you like choking? I mean, what did you put on there?
No, I just said that like...
And I think Joyce does.
Like normally, like I... Like, okay, first of all, it's okay. I'll go on a date with a girl, and there'll be, a point at which I'm like, oh, I like you, you like me, this is cool. At the end of the night,
Sounds like Barney.
Well, the thing is this, I like to save time. I don't want to get to the fifth date and find out we're not compatible. So on the first date, I'll say, if I kind of am feeling it, I'll say, look, you need to know there's two sides to me, all right? On the one hand, I like to hold hands. I like to cuddle. I like PDAs. I like to be romantic. At the same time, I might grab you by the back of the hair, shove you against the wall, fuck you in the ass, and come in your face. So if you like...
That sounds like everybody. I mean, everybody has both those sides.
I feel like if you like both of those things, if you like the soft and the sweet, the hard and the fast, you know, the two sides of the coin, then you and I could be something.
You know how creepy it is that he's looking in my eyes and telling me this?
Exactly. I'm looking deep into your eyes.
And I'm wearing eyeliner. That's the funniest thing.
Okay, I think it's funny for you to say. Look, I don't know that every woman knows. I feel like what happened was I met a lot of girls that thought they'd like to try that, but didn't necessarily know that, like, this was something they were into. And also, that's why
when you go to the fetish clubs, you get that, though.
Well, but yeah, but, like, also, like, I'm really, basically a girl who can be domestic and dirty.
Right.
So it's like domestic meaning, like, let's go to Costco. Let's hold hands. Let's go shopping. Like, let's do, like, things that girls like to do. I'm kind of a chick. And then at the same time, then just get really fucking freaky and fucked up in bed.
You know, I've never had a Costco date myself, but...
I don't mean a Costco date. I mean just...
Hey, you want to go to Vaughn's? That sounds like a hot time.
No, just be domestic.
Like, right.
Like, I'm very, I think it's because I'm a dad.
I know. Yeah, like, you do have two kids.
I have kids. And so I became a dad when I was really young.
Right.
And just, I'm very domestic and very, like... purposeful, and I'm like have,
right?
You know, like I'm not.
So how long do you date a woman before you bring around the kids?
Probably 6 to 9 months.
Okay.
How old are the kids?
To be honest, they're 19 and 21.
And here's the thing about that Chris Score. He doesn't age.
I like to think that alcohol acts as a natural preservative.
He doesn't age.
You're pickled.
His hair changes color. That's the only thing. I was watching.
I went gray when I was 19.
Right.
So I'm like Steve Martin.
But you kept dyeing it.
I never dyed it. It just looked weird on camera.
I saw you on the Reservoir Dogs Special Edition. It was bright red.
It just depends on how you light my hair.
Are you a ginger?
My son is, yeah. Which my son who's going...
That's a great answer.
No, it runs in my family.
Okay.
It runs in my family, but Irish. I'm part Irish. You have some Irish in you?
Yes, probably, most likely.
So you want some?
So you can definitely drink.
I'm sorry, what are you ladies doing over there?
We're having a girl moment.
We are.
Please, you two.
What's the girl moment?
See, we're just such motor mouths. Please jump in anytime you want.
About?
She was complimenting me on my lambskin jacket.
That is a badass jacket.
That
I noticed
the most badass jacket I've
with
ever
the zippers.
Seen. You should see the back. It's a corset back.
What's on the back?
Yeah, could you turn around the camera? Oh, she got that for me. I love that.
That's freaking awesome.
Oh,
badass.
I love it. Where'd you get that?
I got it at a New York Speed on Melrose.
Oh, that's awesome. Awesome, Jack.
I think I have some more research to do. But I went up to Chris Gore at Fetish Nation. I've seen him before at other clubs. And I said, I am such a fan of yours because you directed the Red movie.
I forgot, yeah.
If you don't know what the Red movie is, I've got a couple clips. There was this crank call CD.
He did it.
That's great. But my favorite is the other one. You got to hear this one.
This wasn't a call.
These were crank calls. They crank called a bar.
Okay. Yeah, this is real.
This is real. In the 70s, these two guys in New York crank called this bar. And this is the other crank call. This is my personal favorite. This is in the movie. So this was before the Jerky Boys. This is before Crank Yankers. This is before The Simpsons would
and
crank
Howard
call
Stern.
Moe and Howard. Well, Howard Stern would play these.
No, I talked to Matt Groening. He said that the tape.
He admits it. Yeah. He admits that he ripped off this Red tape.
Well, ripped it off, influenced by whatever.
Well, I mean, they called. I think they called Bend Over. I think they did the Bend Over.
Yeah, they did the Bend Over one. Yeah.
So you were the editor of Film Threat magazine, which
I started in high school.
Right.
Which is weird.
But. And it became pretty influential. This is when it's so weird. Like we're 2013. This is when independent movies and print journalism were actually relevant. And your magazine was like the premiere was huge.
I was just saying we met in the elevator. Jeremy, we met in the elevator. He's wearing a Bukowski shirt. I interviewed Charles Bukowski via the mail. You want to hear this?
I do want to hear this.
This is like 87, 88 when the movie Barfly came out with Mickey Rourke. So, Charles Bukowski was living in San Francisco, and phone calls back in the 80s, back then before cell phones, were really expensive. Like $2 a minute.
I remember,
talk to California from Michigan. So I sent Charles Bukowski on, blank sheets of paper. I'd write a question at the top of the paper, and the rest of the paper was blank. And I would mail to him sheets of paper with questions on them and with a self-addressed stamped envelope. He would mail back to me. So like a month later, I'd receive in the mail the responses to the questions with the blank spaces filled in, written by Charles Bukowski, which I still have these sheets of paper.
Wow.
So
this is pre-email, kids.
This is pre-email. This is how I did this fucking magazine back in the day.
Right. And then you met, and then you, because it's funny, because I was watching the special. This thing is like 30 minutes long.
But the special features are like 300 minutes.
Yeah, the special features. And they show you directing the movie, and you look exactly the same, except this was like 1991. So
you
had that Steven Seagal, Bono, like shitty ponytail thing.
I've never been, like, in terms of being trendy, I've never been, like, whatever the look is, I'm like either way behind or way ahead.
I thought you were.
Never wear whatever the trendy look is.
I thought you were going to karate chop Lawrence Tierney because you had that Steven Seagal look. And Lawrence Tierney is this actor that was in the 40s, and he sounds just like that guy on the tape. Why, you motherfucker?
In real life. Yeah. He's a scary guy.
Yeah. And so I went up to you. I said, what a fan I was of the red tape. And the funniest thing about the DVD, and then we'll move on. In the DVD, you said nobody knows who made the calls. But since then, now you know who made the call.
Since that DVD came out, the real people have emerged.
Right. And
I was so like great. Like, we connected and I was like, hey, what can I do? And they like said, well, send us a bunch of copies of your DVD. So I sent them like hundreds of copies of the DVD for them to sell.
Right.
Like, is any way that I could repay, for the, but I feel like I helped in whatever the notoriety was, just helped bring it to the surface.
Right.
Because like Howard Stern talked about the DVD on his show.
Right, and then you started playing the calls, and they had a guy imitating Red.
Right, right.
And then when the Durkee Boys came out, then they had a whole thing, and then that was the resurgence, and it just hasn't stopped.
No.
Now the Dark Mark shows.
There's a whole cult, and now the Dark Mark show listeners are now introduced to the Red tape.
Well, it's funny, because my friend's...
the two bar video.
My friend's son is like 7 years old, and we have him doing the red voice.
He does it like,
he doesn't do it,
you motherfucker.
No, he doesn't say much. But he's like, if anybody would have called me Des Moines, it's pretty funny. Like, he doesn't, they don't have him do the profanity, but
bend over. If anybody would call me Des Moines,
it's hilarious.
Oh my god,
you got to see this little kid
pepperoni.
Doing it. He'll do it. Like,
pepperoni,
sit down. It's hilarious.
But that's awesome.
anyway, Joyce, I don't know if this was what you had in mind. So when did you start singing?
What did you have in mind?
I'm down for whatever.
No, okay, so you were a punk rocker.
I was.
Classically trained punk rocker. Now, what did you start in a band, or you always were solo, or?
When I was 16, I tried to start a band. I tried to start several, but as much as you try to be hardcore, 16 in the middle of Gilroy, California, it can be a little difficult.
Gilroy? You lived in Gilroy?
I lived in Gilroy.
Where's Gilroy?
No wonder you're a punk.
Where's
Garlic Capital? Nowhere.
It's Garlic Capital of the World. It's like right outside of San Jose.
Okay.
And
it has the biggest sign, like you've entered Gilroy, and you just pass right by it.
Yeah, it's really, there's no reason really to go there unless you're going for the garlic festival that they do every year. If you really love garlic. Which, I don't know, all your friends are vampires, maybe not.
Yeah, no.
But it's really hot. It's a very small town. I went to high school there for the last 2 years of high school, and my high school had like a graduating class of 8 people. So
just small.
What?
It was,
I'm assuming you were a prom queen, or?
No, there was no... Gosh,
like every beautiful woman. I was so ugly when I was in high school and nobody liked
me. No, I actually was. I was like a total nerd with like hand-me-down clothes and none of the boys thought that I was pretty. They all just wanted to date my best friend who was this pretty blonde girl. And
can I just say fuck the blondes? And I don't mean actually do that. I mean, fuck.
Was your last girlfriend blonde?
No.
You just broke up with a blonde, didn't you?
No. It's the type of girl that I feel like I've never been attracted to. I feel like because...
So don't fuck him. What's the problem?
I know. It's not... But the thing is, there's a sense of entitlement I feel like blonde girls have this.
You were rejected by a blonde in high school.
No.
I know one of your ex-girlfriends, she was not blonde, but was your ex-wife blonde?
No.
Okay.
No, I just never been attracted to blondes. It's like the one type of girl where I go, yeah, no. I like girls that wear glasses and Asian girls.
We're in agreement there. Joyce is beautiful. Anybody could say that.
Thank you.
And there's beautiful women. There's beautiful women in every nationality. Now, I happen to prefer pasty white girls, no matter what the nationality. What is the Asian thing that gets you?
I think it's because I grew up on Toho films from
Godzilla's films.
I think Asian women are the most beautiful women in the world.
And let me ask you, because I have to ask you this. There's so much stuff that we're not going to get to that I had planned to get to. When you and I get together, we just blah, 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 blah.
No, like I always gravitate towards you whenever I see you.
And it's always random, too.
Yeah.
You've seen every shitty movie pretty much on demand. You started as a film critic. You're familiar with the trauma au revoir?
Of course I have. The trauma ouvre.
Ouvre. Yes. Excuse me if I mispronounced ouvre.
There's many correct pronunciations.
Tales from the Hood. Is it as bad as everybody says?
Yes. Good, bad. There's a good, bad.
Because you know who was in Tales from the Hood?
Who?
No, Tales from the Crapper.
Tales from the Crapper
is awesome.
I'm sorry. Tales from the Hood was the... Oh, I'm getting my tales mixed up.
Hey, let me just say...
Oh, Tales from the Crapper. Is that any good?
Tales from the Crapper. Yes, it's a good, bad. But there's a guy...
How many people are in it? Everybody's in it, right?
And James Gunn, who did Romeo and Juliet.
Right.
Who basically ghost wrote, Lloyd Kaufman's book. He's directing Guardians of the Galaxy for Marvel right now.
Right, right, right.
Which is freaking amazing. And James Gunn, one of my favorite, very trauma-like movies, Super, with Rainn Wilson, which is a brilliant film.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you should see Super. Put it on your list.
But Tales from the Crapper, is that on my list?
Tales from the Crapper should be on your freaking list. The thing is this, if trauma didn't ever make these movies, no one would make these movies.
Right.
I feel like trauma movies are more real.
Because every review I've read
of
Tales from the Crap.
But
no, I mean, they're more real and they're authentic. Authenticity is
But the cool thing about that one is it has all these major actors that have gone.
Ron Jeremy.
Well, no. Oh, gosh. Now I can't think of everybody that's
Trey Parker had a cameo.
Yeah. What's his name?
Natsumi Max was in it.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are
all
the...
Oh, my God. Amazing.
B-list.
Josie Cat was in it.
The guy who was Hugo and Lost, he was in it.
Oh my God, that's crazy.
What's his name from American Horror Story and Heroes and Star Trek?
Zachary Quinto.
Zachary Quinto was in it.
Oh really?
All these huge actors.
So it's worth a watch.
Yeah.
Because I went on IMDb just out of curiosity.
And of course, Julie Strain.
Oh, I love Julie Strain.
All the B-movie people.
Julie Strain was in a movie I made years ago.
What movie is that?
Julie's cool.
My Big Fat Independent Movie. She's fucking awesome. She's like, what, 6'2"?
Yeah,
right.
She's giant.
Yeah, she's amazing.
I was on Playboy TV with her, too, so I got to work with her for a few different projects.
Because, on IMDb, it says, like, even people are like, we know trauma movies are shitty, and this one's even shittier than most of them. apparently they filmed two movies and tried to splice them together is what Tales from the Crapper was, from what I understand. Anyway, nobody gives a shit anymore. So even Chris Gordon.
Nobody gives a shit about Tales from the Crapper?
I'm talking about bad movies. You're zoning out. So
We were talking to Joyce and we didn't get to her.
Joyce, how did you get from the garlic capital of the world to Hollywood?
I actually came out here for college.
Yeah.
And decided to stick around to pursue music.
And what were you studying?
Psychology.
How did that go?
Beauty and brains.
Oh, psychology was something that I kind of fell into. I didn't really go to college with a set idea of what I wanted to major in. I just knew I wanted to do music. And I wanted, because, like all good Asian children, you have to have a backup. You have to have a college degree. You can't just go and pursue an artistic lifestyle.
By the way, I don't want to give for you to give your clinical diagnosis of these three maniacs that you're in the studio with, but we're a little deranged.
Dude, I love deranged.
And oh,
weird
really?
Oh, and yeah. Different.
Okay, well, then tune into the Dark Mark show every week.
Totally will. Absolutely.
So you studied to be a psychologist, and then you out of college, you went into music?
Yeah, I just stuck around LA and I did some modeling and music, played a bunch of shows around, was in a few bands here mm-hmm. and there as well
what
as
bands?
Doing my solo stuff. I was in a band called The Blinds. I played keyboard and did backup vocals for them. I was in another band doing backup vocals for a guy named Ace. And I also had a couple of my own bands called Lights on Fire and Joyce Lee and The Killing Shoes.
Ah, good name.
The Killing Shoes.
Yeah, The Killing Shoes. You'd probably dig it.
Were they all punk bands or rock?
No, more like rock. One of them was a pop band. One of them was more like a world music / pop band. The Killing Shoes is definitely more like on the rock and roll side. I think it's like a mix of Zeppelin, The Runaways, and The White Stripes. You put it together, but you have a female singer.
It's not bad.
And that was a lot of fun while it lasted.
And how would you describe your music now?
Well, I'm actually about to go into the studio and start recording another EP. So it's right now, I'm still just in the writing process, but it's going to be a little bit more electronic.
Oh, cool.
And probably like rock and electronic mixed together.
Like Ladytron or something?
No, I've been listening to a lot of this duo called Digital Daggers. Have you guys ever heard of them?
Yeah, I have actually.
Yeah
so yeah. I've been really influenced by that. And there's another band I really, really like called The Birthday Massacre.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Bust out your iPod and impress her, Chris. Go ahead.
No, just that's really funny that you say that.
That's what you've been listening to?
No, I know the guy from Digital Daggers.
So. Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Really? Yeah, I love their stuff.
Oh, really? That's funny.
I love the song Can't Sleep, Can't Breathe.
Mm-hmm. Where are they from, Chris?
Oh, well, Joyce? I don't know. I'll text them.
Oh.
I'm
serious.
While we're texting.
Give me a second.
Well, I was going to say, Joyce, you were going to sing something live.
Yeah, I am. It's not really punk rock. It's something off my first record. It's kind of a little
bit.
Is that
the one that I bought that I have?
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. What's it called?
It's called Lullaby.
Is that the name of the record or the song?
The record was called Songs of the Undeserving.
Huh.
That's awesome.
Why do you think I bought it?
The song is called Lullaby. It's more of like a pretty, like, well, I mean, it's called Lullaby, so.
Well, let's have a pretty moment on the Dark Mark Show. Why not? We're not all about
this
the ugly.
This is hilarious that you said that. Like, funny that you mentioned Digital Daggers. Like, a really good friend of mine who I work with who's an editor, like, her boyfriend is, it's basically a, you know, a guy and a male and female duo, and, like, that's, yeah. I'll text him right now.
We're all full of surprises, Chris.
Maybe he'll call in.
You know,
Small world.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear Joyce sing, though. Would that be okay, Chris?
Of course, yeah. I'm not trying to stop anything. I'm trying to, if you want to meet them, you can meet them.
No, we're totally going to meet them. Oh, Joyce says, I don't know about me. Go ahead, Joyce.
Okay, so how should I
get him on the show?
Well, I'd love to have him on the show.
We'll bring Chris and Joyce back.
We'll have a whole, it'll be a whole thing.
For your birthday show.
Sure,
we're gonna
why
get
not?
Everybody back.
Oh, yeah, that's coming up.
When is your birthday?
It's in November.
Ah, we have time. We have time to plan.
Yes.
Plan and plot.
Now, if I just set this up like this, will it be okay? Or how should I set this
Jeremy?
Josie,
can you put your mic over to where mm-hmm. she is? And sort of mic the guitar, I'm assuming.
Gonna do some adjusting here.
This is the first live performance, except for my version of Hungry Like the Wolf, which is horrendous,
on
the Dark Mark Show. Joyce Lee Lullaby.
This goes out to you and you.
This is for this. I dedicate this to Chris and to Josie, who have had rough weeks.
Yeah, actually, that's kind of fitting if you have had a rough week, because it's all about, it's kind of sappy, let's just say it. It's totally a sappy song, but it's nice because it's like about how no matter how bad things get, there's still someone there for you. I know, it's so sad.
Not always, but
yeah, I don't relate to the song at all. But
my pit bull.
Well, this song can be there for you. How about that? Let's just say that your pit bull. Hey, that's awesome. No, dogs are awesome. I have a dog. He's always there for me too.
Dogs rule. Boys drool.
Come on inside, darling, let me take you in. Though you don't know where you're going, there's no shame in where you've been. For we've all done what's wrong instead of what was right. At some point, come on inside. Listen to my lullaby. Though the waves crash all around you, hide inside my voice tonight. May the music be your safety, be your light. Here tonight, here tonight. Whoa. All the things that test your patience and the struggle that I know you're in. Choose another point of view. Take a look at what surrounds and renew what's in you. So come on in, lay your weary head upon me. Let me cradle close to me, kiss those lips and feel you near me. Let's spend some time just being you and me, just you and me, you and me. Come on inside, listen to my lullaby. Though the waves crash all around you, hide inside my voice tonight. May the music be your safety, be your light. Here tonight, be here tonight with me
that we're all crying.
I know. Well, you know.
That was
fantastic. That was so good.
Do people compare that song to something that Jewel would do? No, I mean that in a huge compliment. I mean, you have a gorgeous voice.
She does have a gorgeous voice.
I'm talking about a Grammy-winning artist.
Yeah, it's great. That's a great song. Did anybody ever tell you Rip Off Jewel? That is sort of it's a folk song. You do have a very it's a little Jewelish.
I mean, I've had people compare me to Jewel, and
by the way, Jewel is blonde, so Chris hates her.
And Michelle Branch, that particular song, yeah,
very beautiful.
It's better than being compared to Lloyd Kaufman. I think that would be not a good
or better than being compared to my vocals.
You're kind of a Dark Mark ish in your musical. Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah, so no, it was that was fantastic, Joyce. I appreciate you doing that, and it actually it was funny because it was we were kind of tearing up, all three of us. I know I was getting very emotional, and I could see the two of you sort of getting emotional. Did you hear from the guy in the digital?
I blew a load in my pants when she said the one of the lines. It was about coming inside or something.
We all came inside when you sang.
Yeah, I got where you were going with that.
Yeah,
but no, I texted the guy who's the head of the band Digital Daggers. If you want to talk to him, I'm sure you should.
This could be a future collaboration.
That would be awesome.
Okay, yeah. All right. Just make the connection. That's all I'm...
Anyway, because I, as much as I would like to talk about your romantic woes...
Yeah, exactly.
More, but you must have
all
some...
All my friends are sick. What?
You must have some groupies from the Attack of the Show. You were on G4 TV for 4 years.
I can't do that. I will go on a date with a girl and then once I find out she's a fan, it's just not interesting. It's sort of sad.
Why?
I can't do it.
Why? She's into comic books. She's into...
I like that someone likes what I do, but I don't want someone who's a fan. That would be... I just would feel sad.
Joyce, do you mind dating fans?
Yeah, it's a little weird.
Okay, I don't really like you.
What does your boyfriend say about that?
Huh? My boyfriend?
Yeah, exactly. What is your boyfriend? No, I'm talking to Joyce.
He just kind of like thinks it's funny, actually.
Well, no, the funniest thing about it was when
fans trying to hit on you.
Yeah, I've actually, you know, I've had marriage proposals through MySpace. Isn't that crazy? Through MySpace and Facebook.
Who hadn't?
I've had guys like send me things like, oh my gosh, I listen to your music and I just feel like I know you because of your lyrics.
She had fellow performers hitting on her the night that I was on.
Really? Wow.
Well, actually I was, and her boyfriend was not amused.
Wow.
Am I wrong? I was being very flirty with you, and it was funny because he thought it was funny for like a couple seconds. Then I wasn't stomping, and it wasn't so funny. And it was like, okay. And I backed off after a while. But anyway, where did the time go? I knew this would happen when I have Chris Gore in the studio, when I have Joyce in the studio, when I have Josie Cat in the studio.
It's a great group.
It's a fantastic. There's a great energy in this room. We could talk for hours and hours and hours. Unfortunately, we're running out of time. Joyce. Thank you so much for being here. How do people send you marriage proposals and get to see hear your music? And who are you going to give the CD to? Josie or Chris?
Two.
Oh, you have two?
So you guys can each have one if you'd like. Yeah.
Thank you.
So how do people get a hold of you and hear your music? And
is that song on the CD?
Yes. You can go to facebook.com/Joyce Lees Music. That's mm-hmm. Joyce, LeesMusic. If I can spell music correctly. Or ReverbNation.com/Joyce Lee.
And ReverbNation.com, trust me, I recommend that site. That's where I did most of my research. And Chris?
Just go to ChrisGore.com.
ChrisGore.com. You have the new book Twitter. And the new CD. I listen to comedy CDs. It's very
funny.
Celebrities
poop.
You talk about breaking your dick, all sorts of stuff.
That's a true story.
I wish we had time for that. You talk about fucking yourself in the ass. You talk about... a lot of stuff.
Wait a second. With my own cock.
With your own cock.
Let's be clear.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. And, of course, podcrash.net.
Yes, podcrash.net. Thank you. Wow, you have all your facts right.
And, well, geez, I'm a professional. I've got a show now.
It's amazing.
Yeah, this is not girls eating hot dogs at 2 a.m. This is a real show.
Yeah.
And if any woman wants to mend your broken heart, go to ChrisGore.com.
Sure, go to ChrisGore.com and, yeah.
You know what time it's for? It is, Josie? I don't know. I didn't tell him about it, but we have a spank train.
What's that?
Well, we're going to have to do boy-girl, but we run around the table to spank each other. The guys spank the girls, and then we turn around and the girls spank the guys.
We could do that in post.
I would have brought my riding crop if I knew this was happening.
Joyce, we're definitely going to have you back on the show. Okay, so now it's time for the spank train.
What?
You get
for
in between these two. We're doing this for real. You're going to get in between these two, and I'm gonna. The girls spank the guys, and the guys spank the girls. Is that what we're gonna do?
Oh, we'll do reverse.
Yeah. So anyway, I want to thank everybody for listening, and have a wonderfully creepy week, everybody. We'll be right back.
W, from the wall to the door. What you wanna do? Do you want some hardcore? Do you like it raw? South Olive, downtown LA, Skid Row Studios, motherfucker.
This is Melvin Ishmael Johnson inviting you to listen to the Coltrane Report Monday at 8 to 9 p.m. Pacific Time at www.skidrowstudios.com. We discuss issues that's relevant to the Skid Row and downtown community. Tune in and check us out.
Many have tried to replicate, many have tried to imitate, but there's only one true underground show. You have called it the real deal in underground extreme music. The Jimmy Cab's Very Manic Show, only on Skid Row Studios every Sunday from 1 to 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on Skid Row Studios.